Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
To warn you, this episode contains descriptions of domestic abuse, violence, and sexual assault.
I'm Nick Wallace. This is reporting Depp v. Heard. Regular updates from the court in the celebrity trial of the century.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Reporting Depp v. Heard on the final day of the penultimate week of the Depp v. Heard trial, which is taking place in the building behind me at Fairfax County Court in the beautiful US state of Virginia. It's going to be quite a long Reporting Depp v. Heard, so I will try and keep this very brief. However, both people that I spoke to were not in court today. They were at court today because they did live park bench interviews with me, but they weren't in court today. They do have really, really interesting perspectives, and one of them may well be known to you if you consume a lot of Depp v. Heard stuff online. Her name is Izzy. She's a sort of social media influencer with a big Twitter following, big pro-Depp Twitter following, and she makes lots of TikTok videos as well. But before I do that, I want to tell you about the two most interesting witnesses today. There were a lot of video depositions, one from Amber Heard's agent, who spoke very clearly about all the opportunities that she'd lost, she said, as a result of Adam Waldman's statements to the Mail Online. She said that they had a deleterious effect on Amber Heard's career to the extent that even though she should have been showered in opportunities, both commercial and movie ones, after the success of the Aquaman movie, her career has stalled, if not completely tanked. And she blames Mr. Waldman for supercharging the negativity online about that. And she went into some detail about how exactly Amber Heard's career has pretty much done the same as Johnny Depp since, let's be vague about this and say the litigation and the hoo-ha around their relationship has surfaced in the media. The other really interesting evidence came from Adam Waldman, who's been hanging over this trial like a spectre at the feast. His name kept coming into the first 4 weeks of this litigation. And then finally, there he was on a screen giving his deposition. He didn't say much at first because he was told that he couldn't because of attorney-client privilege. He is still one of Johnny Depp's attorneys. And of course, he's not able to answer certain questions because that would break that privilege. But he did open up about the quotes that he gave to the Mail Online, saying that, yes, those were his quotes. And also a specific and really interesting quote that he gave to RTL, another media organisation, in which he said that Amber Heard was being investigated for the criminal charge of perjury. It transpired under cross-examination. The reason she was being investigated for perjury was because he had made a claim against her to the LAPD. However, he didn't have any written evidence for that claim. He didn't give the name of the person he gave the claim to. He didn't sign any claim. He's never seen a copy of it. And all he knows is that it went to the LA Sheriff's Department and he never heard anything about it again. By the end of it, whoever was cross-examining him was calling it an alleged claim. But it was an example of something at the very least. And I'm sure Mr. Waldman would be saying he had the perfect right to make that claim if he felt that he believed a criminal act had taken place. But, I'm sure if you want to, you can go back and look at his deposition and draw your own conclusions about all of that. It was definitely very interesting. Anyway, so to my two park bench guests, Izzy will be coming up second. She, as I say, is a really interesting pro-Johnny Depp person, very active online, and also has a very interesting tale about being kicked out of court by the deputy sheriffs. And the first guest is a lady called Sam, who has driven here from South Carolina. She's on her way back right now. She's been here for the last 2 days. She got into court yesterday. She started off getting interested in this trial through all the social media activity, and then started to query whether it was really the right thing to be doing, taking cues from social media. So she started doing more watching, more reading, and then was moved to drive here herself and come to her own conclusions about what's going on in this trial. So she's got a really interesting critical perspective, and we will start with her. Here is Sam on the park bench. Hello and welcome to the first of two live park bench interviews at the end of week 5, day 20 of Depp v. Heard. I met Sam today. Say hello, Sam.
Hello.
And Sam has come from where? Colorado, was it?
No, South Carolina.
Oh, South Carolina.
Yes, very different areas.
And you drove?
I drove, yes.
And you've got to get back tonight.
Yes, I do.
So I will make this a quick interview and try not to tire you out too much. But I was very interested in your perspective. Tell me why you decided to come all this way to Virginia to get into court today.
Yes, so I originally started following the trial mainly from like a social media standpoint. So I was watching TikToks, Instagram reels, things like that. And I grew up watching Johnny Depp movies. I found just this whole situation very interesting. So I was kind of seeing some of the sound bites. I thought it was entertaining, thought it was funny. But then I found myself having conversations with just lots of different people about the case. And I realized that I didn't have a very broad view of the case. Okay. I had just a very from Johnny Depp's perspective. Okay. And his supporters. And so I went back and I listened to all of the trial just in my spare time. And I was just really intrigued by it. And like I said, I just kept having thought-provoking conversations with others. And my sister is wanting to be a psychologist and her best friend's wanting to go into law. So we just kind of started talking about it. And we were like, well, we had some time off and we thought we'd come and actually get the actual front row view and see what we thought of it for ourselves once we got here and try to talk to other people and get a...
Okay, so there's a lot to talk about. So tell me what conclusions you drew before you came here. What were your concerns about this case?
My concerns about the case? Mm. So once I started listening for myself to the depositions and the cross-examinations, I came in with sort of... I figured if most people are siding with Johnny, there must be a reason. And so that was kind of where I was coming from at first. And then once I started listening to his testimony and his cross-ex and some of the sound bites that frame him negatively, I was really jarred by some of the stuff. And I felt like I found myself like cringing at some of the things he said. And yet I'd get online afterwards and see just people still like revering him and worshiping him. And I'm like, did they listen? This was a hard day for him.
Yeah.
And no one seems to have listened to some of the really upsetting things. Mm. And they seem to be very dismissive of anything that could put him in a negative light.
So how do you break that down? Because you've got a clinical background. You said you've got your sister wants to go into psychology and the like. And we've had forensic psychologists giving their evidence for both sides here. What do you think is going on here? Because there's what's happening in the trial. There's what's happening in the conversations around the trial, and there's the way that that is affecting perceptions and people's decision-making as a result of all this. Is your main concern the fact that people have just got themselves into this kind of pro-Johnny mindset where they are not going to listen objectively to what's going on?
Yeah, people aren't holding, I don't want to say holding him accountable, but people are not, they're so quick to assign a hero and a villain. Mm-hmm. And once they've decided that Johnny Depp's a hero, not only, he can do no wrong to them. And so it's not even like, well, you know, he is an addict and I'm sure some negative things come with that and some of what she's saying probably holds some water. Mm-hmm. They're unwilling to say anything like that.
Yeah.
And you know, she can blink the wrong way and she's, you know, ridiculed.
Right. So. The whole social media thing is kind of built up over the course of the trial, but it was there in the background leading up to it. In fact, it was discussed in court an awful lot today about the effects that it's had on Amber Heard and her career, etc. As we heard the same for Johnny Depp when he was giving evidence. So what I'm concerned about as someone who's sort of reported on courts and decisions that have been made by courts before is that because this is a televised trial, because this social media has now reached a sort of maturity phase where it can be very, very influential in the way that people think, and the way that people make decisions and the way that people connect with it emotionally and people are making decisions, I think, emotionally. I'm wondering what effect it's going to have on the way that we view whatever decision is made by the jury, whatever the verdict is, and how cases like this change the way that people are thinking about what justice is and what justice means.
Right.
What are your thoughts?
Were discussing before this interview how, you know, there is so little emphasis on what this case is actually about, which is it's a defamation trial, right? And it has become who's a worse individual, who's just a worse person, and how much dirty laundry can we expose on both sides? And we forget at the end of the day that we're just trying to prove one way or the other how Johnny was affected by, you know, that article that she wrote.
But it does go to their characters, their personalities, and who did what, because that then justifies what they then wrote or allowed to be written. We don't even know whether Johnny Depp authorized any of the statements that Adam Walden made in the media, because a lot of today was about being protected by attorney-client privilege. But the case that Amber Heard's team are putting forward was that he did authorise these statements. They both made damaging allegations in the media, and that has damaged their careers. And I think one thing that we have discovered from today is that both their careers have been damaged.
Yeah.
But I'm really interested in your perspective that you seem to be in the minority of people, certainly attending this trial as a spectator, who are putting their hands up and saying, whoa, hold on a minute. Yeah. Where's your objectivity gone? Where's your ability to look at both sides? Why is it that people who say things in favour of Amber Heard are subject to ad hominem attacks on their character, rather than anyone going, well, hang on a minute, what if they're all telling the truth? What if those bruises and scratches were caused by your violence? So tell me about how you're approaching that critically.
So, I mean, like I said, when I started following the case, it was mostly, you know, funny videos on TikTok, right? I didn't know the date that the trial was starting. I just started to see this kind of infiltrating my feed. So, like I said, at first, I was just like, wow, she's a monster. You know, everything characterized, you know, the way they clip videos, the way they edit videos, and they're funny, and you're laughing, and the majority of people are slow to question, well, wait, maybe this is taken out of context, right? And so once I started to go back and look, I'm seeing, oh, wait, these are some serious, she's saying some serious stuff, right? Mm. But people, it amazes me how quick people are to be a diehard supporter and a diehard fan, and they don't do their homework. And they don't say, well, maybe there could be another side.
There's no reason why they should, though. Why should they have to do their homework?
Because this is justice you're talking about, and it's the people's lives and their lives being destroyed. Amber Heard is the most hated woman in America.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what she's saying. What if?
So what do you think the implications are for America, for society, for justice, if this is the way things are going to go?
Okay, well, so let's talk about this. So I feel like I think America has a very hard time bringing the pendulum to the middle, right? They like to swing very far on certain issues. And so, you know, several years ago, Me Too, that was, you know, we're listening to women, we're believing women. That is the conversation of the day. You get someone as famous and as likable as Johnny Depp in the reverse situation, and now we don't care about the justice and the truth of this exact situation. We care about supporting this person and this you know, idea that he possibly was, you know, mistreated and all that. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a very sad situation for both of them. And there's a lot of, for lack of better words, there's a lot of dirt on both sides of the spectrum.
One of the things that I perceived, and I don't know whether you share this and whether this is even right or not, is that when this trial started, this was about justice for Johnny Depp. Mm-hmm. That just Johnny was a wrong man, and that his fans were going to fight for him to get the justice that he had been denied in London, in the UK trial. Over the course of the trial, it seems to have become, let's all just hate Amber Heard.
Yes.
Because it's far funnier to do that. And I don't know whether this perception shift is because so many more people have become engaged by the trial. Mm. It isn't now about those hardcore fans anymore. It's now about wider society taking their cue from what's on social media. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm so inside this little tiny bubble that I really can't step back anymore. And people keep asking me what I think about it. A, I'm not going to tell them. But B, I don't know what I think, because I have no critical distance from this. As someone who's come to this and been inside the madness over the course of the last 7 hours, what conclusions have you drawn just from taking this little snapshot today?
Well, so I've been here the last 2 days.
2 days,
and,
sorry, forgive
me. Yes, and I was in the trial proceedings yesterday. Today I was just in the courthouse. And I've gotten to talk to a lot of different people, and I've taken the approach of asking questions. You know, you've been here a long time. Some of the other people I've spoken to have been here since the beginning. And I tried to come in with more of an open mind and just kind of hear, you know, what are the people saying who have been watching every second of this entire trial? And they've seen the mannerisms up close. They've seen all of the little nuanced details, right? And I will say my opinion of everything has shifted somewhat just since being here. I think that when you're in the courtroom, you're not looking at every single little thing that you would if you're watching on TV. You know, you're able to see the up-close smirks and little things. Mm. When you're just observing, you're listening. You're listening to the attorneys and you're listening to the witnesses. And you're making your judgments based off of what they're saying. When I'm at home watching, I'm going, what's Johnny smirking at? Amber smirking
and
at?
And you can scroll back as well. And you go, let's have a look at that
what
again.
Do they find, what do they find preposterous? Or what are they wanting us to think is preposterous? Mm. You know, and so... it has got me questioning the idea of cameras in the courtroom. Like, it has just been a very interesting, I'm still processing, I think, everything that I've been seeing.
I was very, very pro open justice, because in the UK we don't have cameras in courtrooms, and I've always been of the opinion that you should shed a little daylight on magic. And the court process in our country is seems so arcane to the to most people. Whereas over here, it's on television, everyone can see it and make their own decisions about it. And for the first time ever, I've started to wonder whether or not that can in some cases be damaging. Because if what we end up with is, well, either way, but let's say, for instance, Johnny Depp loses, Amber Heard is vindicated on both sides of the Atlantic, she's still going to be the most hated woman in America. Is that justice?
That's a very good question. I don't know if I'm qualified to answer that.
Well, look, is there anything else that you want to say? Because I know you've got to get in your car and go.
I mean, I feel like I could talk about it forever. That's the thing. Like, I just think this trial is so interesting because it to me, it doesn't really end the layers to it. Like, you know, just I think we were talking earlier about the window it gives you into celebrity.
Yeah.
And how, you know, all these people on TikTok, they think Johnny Depp's this god. Mm. And, you know, why wouldn't we stand with him? But then when you're hearing what goes on behind closed doors and these recordings, you know, and the from both sides, not just him, but, you know, the things she says, these are people who have power, status, money, everything. And yet they still have very sad situations in their life.
Yeah.
And I wish people would see that, and they would say the sensationalism would stop a little bit.
Yeah, and there is something of the Shakespearean tragedy about it, but then of course people love Shakespearean tragedies. Yeah, they go and watch it. They love to see what you know.
They want
to
see a downfall. I mean, they want to see, you know.
Because these people are living bigger lives than us. Couple of things. Two definite tribes of people who I've had a lot of interaction with over the course of this trial have said this trial is absolutely necessary. One of them is people who are associated with the men's rights movements, people who say that they've been stitched up by people manipulating women, manipulating the justice system to their own ends, and because the justice system is geared towards women in things like domestic violence cases, they know how to get away with it, and they see Amber Heard as someone who is manipulating the system to get away with it, particularly when it came to her DVRO. And the other is women who have themselves been abused in relationships, largely by men, who say they see patterns of their abuser in Amber Heard.
In Amber Heard.
So you've got two huge and very, very committed distinct groups of people who see this trial as absolutely essential because they believe it could expose something really important. Have you picked up on anything like that?
So like I said, my opinions are still forming as the longer this goes on. My initial thoughts and the thoughts that I think I still hold to are that side more with this is opening up an interesting conversation about women manipulating the system in order to have their way with men, essentially. I do think that's a very hard conversation to have, especially when the Me Too movement was, you know, taking over the country. That was a very hard conversation to have, and no man likes to admit to something like that. No man wants to, or I should say, few men want to come out and say they're getting beat up by a wife or a partner. And so I do think that was one of the earliest things that caught my attention was that's a conversation we're not really having.
Yeah.
At least in America, I don't feel like. And so that was one of the first things to get me interested. And the longer this has gone on, it's hard for me to keep thinking that that's what this case boils down to. I think that there's a lot of blood on both of their hands.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
My thanks to Sam, she was absolutely brilliant, and I think you'll like Izzy as well. She's actually quite an important person, I think, in this whole process, being quite an influential woman and a fan of Johnny Depp and someone who's had to deal with abuse herself, which she talks about quite openly in this interview. So see what you make of her, and I hope you enjoy the interview, and as I say, I'll be back at the end. It's time for the second park bench interview of the afternoon, and I've got a bona fide internet celebrity with me. This is Izzy Orsini. Not only has she got an amazing story around this trial, but you make TikToks, you do a lot, you're very active online, aren't you?
I try to be, yeah.
Okay, and right, first of all, because not only are you famous, you're notorious as well.
Yes.
Take me through what happened. You've been here since week one, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Day one. You're, it's fair to say, a fairly diehard Johnny Depp supporter.
I'm a fan of his movies, obviously, but like, you know, I got into his movies and his movies kind of pulled me out of like a depression I was in at the time. And then beyond that, like, I started to look into him as a person, and by doing that, because it was 2017 at that point, like obviously all of the stuff around this came up, but there wasn't really much information out on his side of the story. So I, you know, had to kind of do my own research. And then I think early 2018, I found a video of someone explaining like little details of like how they react to each other in public that pointed to the fact that he was actually the victim and she was the abuser. And that's just like immediately like kind of light bulb moment,
right?
And then I kind of like fell down a hole of looking more and more into it, and then all of his stuff started coming out and it started kind of confirming that. So then I realized, like, if there's this huge injustice here, then I need to do something about it.
So then you started creating content, you started,
yeah,
tweeting about
mostly
it.
Mostly Twitter.
What kind of platform was it? Twitter was your main platform at,
yeah,
first. And then I don't know how far you traveled to get here. What was your deal with actually getting to court? Because you've invested quite a bit of time and money in this.
Yeah, I am from New York, so I just took the Amtrak train down here. It was like 3 hours, and then I took a bus back that was like 4 hours.
And what's it been like finding a community down here? I don't know whether you were that much in sort of physical face-to-face contact with many Depp fans or many sort of people working in your sphere before.
Not before this, no.
Because I get the sense that, for, I don't want to say people like you, but I would say,
yeah,
people who've been following this in the way that you have, it's been quite an almost magical experience finding like-minded people here at trial. Is that
yeah,
fair enough to say?
Yeah, it's been like, it's been really weird. Like I meet like new people every day who are just like here to support him. And it's been crazy, and they're all like so nice and supportive, and even the people who are just here to just wave to him when he leaves are still like super nice, and we all hang out back there because, you know, we're there all day.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
you get to know a lot of like interesting people.
Now take me through the controversy. What happened? Tell it in your own words,
yeah,
but Izzy got involved in a little bit of controversy around the courtroom.
So like the first week, Thursday, the deputies, it was two people, the New York Post wrote that there was four, but it was two people, and they pulled me out and they asked for my ID, and I didn't say why, and so I kept asking, like, you know, why, and then they said, you're not allowed back in the courtroom for the rest of the trial.
The deputy sheriffs here are not like the ushers you get in court back in the UK. They're serious people, aren't,
yeah,
they're
like policemen.
Yeah, they're like policemen, and they are armed, and they patrol up and down the courtroom making sure that people aren't using phones or anything like that. And if you get called out by, I would not like to get called out of court by,
yeah,
a deputy, and it happened to Izzy. So
yeah,
what did they say? They took your full name, they wanted your ID.
They took my ID. They didn't tell me why that they were kicking me out. They just kept saying, check your social media. And like, you know, my Twitter account has tens of thousands of tweets, so I can't just like check it and know exactly what they're talking about. But so I kept asking them why. And then there were other people here who were like gonna support me and say like, they tried to find the head of the sheriffs here and they wouldn't let me speak to them. And then that night I looked up, well, I got sent like an article from the New York Post that someone had given them my full name, which was not on my Twitter account, and the screenshot that had gotten me kicked out, which was a tweet that was really stupid, but it was a response to something Amber's dad had said, because he said I was going to shoot Johnny. And so I said, well, if you're going to threaten people, I'll threaten you too. And I typed some stupid joke that I used to say to my brother. And they told the officers here.
It was perceived as a death threat or a quasi-death threat.
But it wasn't a death threat, more like just a violent threat.
Okay.
Because you wouldn't die. But like...
Can you remember what the exact tweet was?
I was saying that like I will hit you with point shoes, because I used to be a ballet dancer, and point shoes, like the box of it, like where your toes go, is rock hard, so you can stand on it. So if you hit someone with it, it hurts.
Yeah.
So that's what I said.
And you said you'd do that to Amber?
Not to Amber, Amber's dad.
Right.
But they told the deputies that I had made a typo, because I wrote Mr. Heard. So they said she meant to write Miss Heard. And they believed that.
How old were you when you wrote this tweet?
19.
What does that do to you? Because you're here, you think for innocent purposes, and you are suddenly in trouble with the deputies. I mean, was over, how long ago was that tweet that you sent?
That was 2019.
Okay, so a tweet 3 years ago. That's 3 years old, yeah.
Yeah.
When you were 19.
Well, I fought it, because they had kicked other people out for the same reasons. Their tweets were like 6 years old. And I fought it and said, like, this is not about Amber, so there's no reason to remove me. And eventually they said, okay, the judge says you can come back. I don't know how it got to the judge, but the judge let me to come back.
Well, that's good. So you are legitimately back on these premises. The question is, and it's the one I think that's been raging recently in the media and social media, is when did it become okay to rag on Amber Heard in the way that social media has been doing for essentially shits and giggles?
Well, when people realized that she was lying, they decided that it would be okay to, like, expose her lies more. I think.
So what has she lied about?
Well, what the TikToks actually are that everybody's, like, complaining about now, it's audio of her depositions, not the sexual assault allegations, because that's something people keep saying, but I haven't seen any TikToks with those. It's just her saying something, and then people will reenact exactly what she's saying word for word. Mm-hmm. And when they reenact it, you realize that it makes no sense at all.
So what are the lies?
The ones on TikTok, the ones that I've seen people reenacting, there's one where she says, I came out of the bedroom, he slapped me across the face, then I turned around to look at him. And that, like, when you actually reenact that, it's like he slaps you and then you turn your back to him, but you're not looking at him, so it doesn't make sense in that.
But doesn't the effect of something like that belittle the seriousness of the allegation, which is that she is a victim of assault? And if she is mistaken, misspoke, misremembers, and then saying, ah ha ha ha, because you said you turned in a different direction, you're obviously a liar and making all this up.
Yeah.
Doesn't that belittle the seriousness of basically this whole process?
If it was that she was the victim, then yeah, that would not be okay to do.
She claims she is the victim.
She claims she is the victim, but like all of the evidence points to the otherwise, and that's why you don't see people doing that with like Johnny's side of the case.
I don't think all the evidence does, because a high court judge found demonstrably in Johnny Depp's favor.
But if you look into the details of that, it's like his son worked for the Sun newspaper, or like Rupert Murdoch in some way, and then there was like a bunch of other like connections.
What, so that means the judge is bent, does it?
Yeah.
You see, that's a really weird and unevidenced allegation
like
to make.
Who
to
have
accuse,
like,
to basically accuse a high court judge of being bent because his son worked for Rupert Murdoch is in itself probably defamatory.
Yeah, but that's
because
just what
no
I've
evidence.
Seen online.
I know,
like,
I know, I've seen it online as well.
People,
I've seen these incredible charts, which are starting to basically look like conspiracy theory crazy nonsense. But it's taken hold among social media that the trial in the UK was a travesty because the judge was bent.
Yeah.
There's no evidence for that. There is literally no evidence for that.
Yeah. I mean, it's
but
like it's kind
it.
Of like a conspiracy, though.
Yeah, it is like a conspiracy. And a judge who's seen a few witnesses in his time took a view that Johnny Depp was a wife beater. So it's not fair to say that all the evidence is in his favor, is it?
Yeah. But I still, like, when people say, like, oh, these text messages somehow prove he's abusive, it's like, from my perspective, as someone who's, like, looked into abuse and trauma and stuff like that a lot, I'm not a professional, but, like, I've looked into it a lot, all those text messages are just what I call trauma responses. It's him having
gone
through...
But what about the jealousy? The jealousy is not a trauma response, is it?
Jealousy in what sense?
Well, like, we've heard multiple witnesses on both sides of the fence in this trial say that he's jealous. And that his jealousies were unfounded.
I don't remember like seeing text messages about that. I haven't listened to like every single witness in there, but
I have. Yeah. Not unfortunately, it's been a privilege. But yeah, I've heard a lot of neutral witnesses and a lot of witnesses, old friends of his, saying that he would have sort of crazy, unfounded, jealous anger and rages, which had no basis in reality. That his behaviour was controlling. Now, I'm not saying that makes him an abuser at all, but it is one of the hallmarks of an abuser.
Yeah. I mean, I can see why you could like say that that would like lead to that, but at the same time, it's like these people are saying, well, sometimes he would like throw something at like a wall or something, but he would never hurt an actual person. Nobody's ever said that he's hurt a person. Like every
Other than Whitney and Amber herself,
But every single other person, like he's been in multiple relationships over the course of like even his career. Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever said anything, and the weird thing is that as soon as Amber said something, all of these other people who he had dated stood up and said, no, he's never abused me.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I remember from the High Court trial, the two witness statements that weren't admitted as evidence, but from his former partners, Winona Ryder and Vanessa Paradis, saying he's not violent.
Yeah.
And that is obviously really, really interesting. So what is your thinking about all of this now, what it's turned into, this trial and where you are? Because one of the things that came out today, I don't know how much of it that you may have heard or gleaned, was that some of the social media influencers, and I'd put you in that bracket, have had a huge bearing on Amber Heard's reputation and had a huge bearing on the way that the American public is perceiving this trial. I mean, that Umbrella guy, that Brian Feller, and Laura, the real Laura B, three people mentioned in court today as being people who were in contact with Adam Waldman, who's Johnny Depp's attorney, who he was feeding information to, essentially. And that has, and the allegation is that has poisoned the well in an unjust way against Amber Heard. You don't see it like that.
But, no, because all that he did, if we want to say like he leaked something, like he leaked the audio, the same exact audio they're playing in court. Mm. So obviously it would have been made public eventually anyway. And they didn't like twist it or anything. It is just the audio
came out,
and people heard it and then all formed their own opinions on it. It wasn't really, nobody intentionally was like being paid to do something, which is what I think Amber's trying to accuse us of.
I think they're getting
paid
to that point, aren't they? I'll be interested to see how that develops, actually, because that's really interesting.
Yeah, but nobody's getting to be paid. I wish I was being paid, but I'm not being paid.
Johnny Slipper a few quick.
There's no bots, there's nobody being paid. It's just they heard this audio, they saw like documents, they saw photos, and they saw this stuff come out, and then they formed the opinion, and that's why everybody...
I mean, there is an argument to say that maybe justice is giving people the evidence and allowing them to make up their own minds.
I mean, that's what it should be.
Yeah. But why did it have to go to trial? Because I suppose if it didn't go to trial, we wouldn't hear all this stuff, would it, I suppose?
I think it had to go to trial because Johnny's now lost jobs because of it, and his career has basically been destroyed. So he wants to, like, kind of get his life back and get his kid. Like he said, like, people that he's told over the years and given advice to, like, now they won't trust him because of all this stuff that's come out. So I think he took it to court because he wanted to just completely put an end to it.
Yeah. I have a huge amount of sympathy with a lot of the perspectives on this, but one thing that does stick in my craw a little bit is a lot of the attack dogs, the Johnny Depp attack dogs, are now just attacking witnesses' integrity because they can't attack what they're actually saying. So the people who've seen injuries, the people who have seen appalling behaviour, are now just being attacked for their own self-regard or for their own bitterness or whatever. And I just think, really? Is that necessary?
It's like, I've seen stuff like that too, where people post like photos of like unflattering photos of Amber and like try to criticize her appearance. And I just am like, I don't think that that's necessary at all to do, because criticize what she's done rather than what she looks like or just acts like or anything like that.
And I do wonder, and I include myself in this, whether we have kind of let the genie out of the bottle. We can't control that anymore. No one can control that anymore. That's just happened. It's taken on a life of its own. I mean, it's on Saturday Night Live, for goodness sake. And this is a very, very serious case.
That made me angry.
Let's just say that Amber Heard is telling the truth, in which case she's a rape victim and he's a rapist. Let's just say that she's lying, in which case she's probably a mentally unstable fantasist.
Yeah.
Either way, turning her into a figure of ridicule and hatred, I'm not sure is helpful to anyone, is it?
Yeah, But the SNL skit, like if you watch it, Amber's not included.
No,
in
I know. No, they obviously took an editorial decision not to put her in there, and I thought that was fascinating because they obviously wanted to do something.
Which I thought was like they're avoiding like ever criticizing a woman in this situation. They're and immediately we're just like making it look like Johnny thinks this is a joke and thinks that it's like, you know, he says like at one point like, yeah, I'm just a nightmare to live with. And I just think that if he is actually the victim, like now you're just turning this into like he thinks it's a joke.
That's a very good point because yes, she's been taken out of the equation in that SNL skit because obviously there must have been some discomfort about how they do it and they decided not to have her in there at all. And but if he is a victim of abuse as he's claiming that he is, you're right, that is again ragging on a male victim of domestic abuse.
So I just think they shouldn't have touched that at all.
That's a really interesting point. But then they can't ignore what's happening online and they want a piece of it, don't they?
But that's the problem is because it's a like, celebrity trial, people think that this is just like a joke or that it's just two rich people having it out at each other. But the thing is, it's about domestic violence and that's such a big issue, especially like if a man is a victim of domestic violence, like this is what he has to go through just to get people to listen to him. Whereas when Amber like just went to the media and just said, I'm a victim, everybody immediately believed her no matter what.
Can we talk about America's relationship with celebrity? Because it's something that I know is, I think, slightly different to the UK's relationship with celebrity. And look, this might be, I don't want to be offensive in any way, but we have a royal family.
Yeah.
We venerate our royal family. Obviously you venerate the office of the president. The office of the president, not the actual president. But also, I'd say movie stars are venerated in a slightly different way to the way they are in the UK. Do you think that the way that America looks up to celebrity not only sort of venerates them and puts them on a pedestal, but it also considers them fair game because they've got this wonderful life, therefore whatever abuse they get, they've got to suck up.
Yeah, I've seen that, like, this is like unrelated, but like I've been following a lot of the stuff with J.K. Rowling. And whether you agree with her or not, it's like the hate she gets, and she gets death threats and rape threats and like awful things just sent to her for having an opinion that people don't like. And you can disagree with her all you want, but you can't be sending her abuse. And the second you say to somebody, don't send her this kind of stuff because it's really hurtful and harmful, they just say, well, she's rich, so it doesn't matter.
What would you say to someone who says, the thing that you're describing about J.K. Rowling is happening to Amber Heard, and you are part of that group of people who are doing that to Amber Heard. Why is she fair game and not J.K.? But you're able to keep a sort of critical and moral distance from J.K. Rowling and say, that's not right.
Well, what I personally do is I just point out all the inconsistencies in Amber's story. Like, that's what I post online.
Yeah, I realize, and I appreciate, yes, you're not issuing death threats to Amber Heard or anything like that. But because of this, what you've created and people who are doing similar things have created, it's basically made it open season on Amber Heard. So the people who are less sort of thoughtful about it just go, ah, ha, ha, let's hate her.
Yeah, I don't think people should be sending her death threats or like threats at all, like abuse or rape or anything. Like, I think that crosses a line that, you know, she is a horrible person for what she's done.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. But,
if you believe it. Yeah.
But she will get the punishment she deserves from the court if she's found guilty.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Although the weird thing about this trial is that it's a defamation case.
Yeah.
And so that I struggle with that because it's so much about what happened in that relationship. You have to sort of keep stepping outside it and go, oh no, this is about a newspaper article and something that Johnny Depp's lawyer said on three occasions in the Daily Mail. It's really weird. Is there anything you want to say before we're finished or ask me any questions or anything like that before we go?
I guess the only thing that I want to say is just that the media keeps portraying like fans here as just like fangirls who want to just sit in a room with Johnny to be in a room with Johnny. And the real people that I've seen here have been here the entire time, who are like here supporting him and are on Twitter supporting him and stuff and like spent tons of money to come here. We're not here to just sit in a room with him or see him in real life.
There go the deputies, ruining our park bench interviews on a nightly basis.
But the real fans that are here because we are either abuse victims ourselves or know somebody who's an abuse victim, and we've been through this, and like me especially, like I've been in a position where, you know, somebody tells horrific lies about me, and everybody just believes them to believe them, and then the ones that, you know, don't necessarily believe them, they just don't want to be involved. So I've been in the position where I've had to fight like that by myself. So I kind of know what, how it feels for Johnny in like a tiny sense, because obviously it's not on a huge scale, for what it felt like originally beginning when he felt like the entire world just hated him and didn't believe him and thought he was something that he wasn't.
Okay, I'm not going to finish on this because I want to ask you a supplemental on that.
Right.
And it's a genuine question. I had spoken to so many women who said exactly that. They were abused, they suffered appalling abuse, and they recognize, and they are supporting Johnny either because they recognize patterns of abuse in what they've been seeing of the evidence that's come out of Amber Heard's behavior. And when I put this to someone who took an opposing view, they said what they're doing is they are somehow confusing psychologically their veneration of Johnny Depp and connecting with him on an emotional level because they have that emotional connection and seeing that he's saying he's struggling as someone who is abused. But normally, if it wasn't Johnny Depp, if it was some old Joe Schmo, the connection would be more likely to be with the woman because she was the first person who put her hand up and said, look, I'm in an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
Does that make sense as a question? Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, but I mean, I wasn't even like into Johnny's movies when all this stuff came out in 2016. I didn't start watching his stuff till 2017.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that was because he was cast in Fantastic Beasts. That's why
J.K.
I got
Rowling.
Into it.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. Now it all makes sense.
Yes. I'm a very big Harry Potter fan. But so I started watching his movies in 2017, so all the stuff had already been out, and I'd watched all these like interviews and stuff of Amber, and the whole time something just seemed very off, especially because J.K. Rowling herself is a victim of domestic violence, and she was supporting...
Which was the whole Dan Wooten article, wasn't it, in the
yeah.
UK? How can she...
And she was still supporting him, so I was like, either she's like completely hypocritical, or... You know, she recognizes that there's something wrong with this, because I didn't know he was a victim at the time, but like... I just knew there was something just wrong, because the way Amber was acting in these interviews where she was talking about like, I'm a survivor and like all of that, it just seemed so disingenuous. It seemed, there was just something very weird about it.
It's amazing. I mean, I don't have experience of abuse, and so I don't know, I look at it in a very different way. And I am amazed at the number of people who have said that to me. They're picking up on things which I just can't see. And I have to say, I don't know whether they're actually there. But an awful lot of people seem to think they are.
Yeah, I think if you have to like experience it to really be able to like pick up on certain things.
Izzy, it's actually been a real, real joy to speak to you and a pleasure to talk through all these issues. And you're welcome back on the park bench anytime you like, even though we've got limited time left now. What are your thoughts about the final week?
It's going to be insane.
It's going to be hard work. I mean, these 4-day weeks have been bad enough, haven't they? But
especially the last day, I feel like it's just going to be an absolute circus.
I bet you that pub at the top of the hill will be full come the end of proceedings. Thank you so much, Izzy. Really grateful for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Right, there we go. A very lengthy reporting Depp v. Heard. Thanks for sticking with it this far, if you have done so. Thank you very much for supporting all the stuff around this whole reporting Depp v. Heard thing. I do appreciate it. And now I'm going to go for a drink. It's been the end of a very long week. We'll be back on Monday at 9 o'clock sharp for 5 full days in the final week of the Depp v. Heard trial. And then we've just got to wait for a verdict.
I'm Nick Wallace. This is reporting Depp v. Heard.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Now at Menards, save big money on everything for your next project. With the largest selection of concrete and mortar in stock, we have the right mix specially formulated for your project. View our entire selection of concrete and mortar mixes online or in-store and save big money. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money.